welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, good morning. Praise God. We're going to delve into the Word of God this morning in a psalm. This is Psalm 42, and it's such a great little reminder, exhortation, whatever you want to call it, for all of us all these years later. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. You know, it's pretty interesting when you see this little passage because you're seeing the psalmist here having a little argument with himself. In other words, he's in a place of deep discouragement, but he's asking himself why. He said, why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? It's pretty amazing to think that even though you feel, in other words, you could say, I feel this way. I feel. He's saying, I know you feel, but God. And he's saying, but I will remember you. And so we see this ability to hope in God was a choice. In other words, he felt a certain way, but in the face of his feelings, he said, I choose to put my hope in God, even though I am presently deeply discouraged, whatever the circumstances, situation, this is how I feel based on what I see. In the middle of that, I'm putting my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. There is this decision to hope in the face of discouraging situations. There's a decision to do that. And we have permission to do that. We don't have to be ordered around by our discouragement. Our discouragement doesn't have to be the Lord and the director of our life. In the face of how we feel, in the face of discouragement, we can make declarations of hope. This is okay. This is the Word of God. This is our guide. Why is that important? It's important because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. A big reason why hope is so important is because our faith is connected to our hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we live in a culture, we live in a world that tells us over and over, you know, don't get your hopes up. And a lot of times we can all fall into this where we're trying to manage expectations, a phrase you'll hear a lot, in different forms. And I understand that in certain contexts that can be okay. But when it comes to faith in God, when it comes to believing God, when we get into that game of managing expectations with God in His plan and His purpose for our life, that can be a dangerous place because when we decide that, okay, I'm not going to hope, I'm choosing to not hope. In the same way you can choose to hope, you can choose to not hope. And we'll choose to not hope so that we don't get hurt, we don't get our feelings hurt, we don't get disappointed. And that's, again, a very common phrase that we'll hear. Don't get your hopes up. Why? You don't want to have to deal with disappointment. You don't want to have to deal with the discouragement. So if you don't get your hopes up in the first place, you don't have to deal with that fall of discouragement. You know, we understand this, just kind of natural psychological thinking. But this is very subtle. And this is a way that the enemy will subtly come at your faith by tampering down hope, tampering down expectations. So in the face of a world that says, don't get your hopes up this morning, we are going to very deliberately, like the psalmist, minister along the lines of getting your hopes up. And I want it to be in the same context that that psalmist got his hopes up. Maybe it's in the face of discouragement. Maybe it's in the face of stuff you don't understand or a why God question. But this morning, we're going to minister along those lines, getting your hopes up. Now, you may get your hopes up, and there may be tears in your eyes as you're getting your hopes up because of the place that you're coming from. But there's a decision that we can make to get our hopes up. Why can we get our hopes up? Why is it that no matter what's going on around us, we can get our hopes up and get our hopes in God? The first thing that I want to look at the fact is, and these are just, you know, why can I get my hopes up? Well, first and foremost, all things are possible with God. Jesus came to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What are we talking about? Getting your hopes up. I guess I could have called this getting your hopes up again, okay? Because that's what we're really talking about. We're talking about getting your hopes up again in the face of things you don't understand, in the face of things that you don't get. Because when you begin to get your hopes up, that's when your faith is going to be going to work. That's when you're going to be trusting God again. Getting your hopes up again is, it's trusting God again. Why can I? Because all things are possible with God. There is nothing that's impossible with God. Now, one of the things that the psalmist said, he said, you know, even though I'm discouraged, he said, I'm going to remember. And this is a time where we have to challenge ourselves to remember. Has God ever done amazing things for you before? Has he ever done that impossible where you look back and say, and it could have been a medical thing? I mean, I remember still this day being in the doctor's office with my brothers and sister looking at that scan of my mom's liver and the cancer. It's like, wow. In my natural mind, that was just checkmate. There's no way. I mean, in the natural, that she could live with this in her body. And I remember just driving, I was driving back to Door County, just getting that call from my pastor. And it was interesting how, you know, I know my theology, I know what I believe, I know what God can do, but just hearing somebody on the other line encouraging me and declaring that, you know, with God, all things are possible. It's like, yeah, they are. And the cool thing that what he did for me was he said, here, let me tell you what, Ed, let's pray, but I'll pray. You just agree. And so, because my soul, you know, didn't feel it. But as he began to declare the word of the Lord and declare healing and declare the possibilities of God, even though my soul was still struggling, my spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, is going to bear witness to truth. And even when you say with God, all things are possible, and he loves you and he's for you, nothing can separate you from his love. No matter how you feel, you can't help it. You got the Holy Spirit saying, that's true, that's true, that's true. That's the witness of the Spirit, that's true, that's true. And that's why in the face of how you feel, in the face of your soul, there's a choice from here to put your hope in God. It's still true. The word is still true. But what about that? The word is still true. The Bible is still true. These are tests that we go through in life. We all go through these. Nobody has this charmed life where everything just always works out perfect. And no, the other guy doesn't have that. Don't believe that about the other guy. They're just like you. They're going through stuff that's confusing and things that you don't understand. But we all have that same test. My hope is in God. I'm going to put my hope in God. I remember he prayed that. And I remember by the end of that phone call, my spirit was just like, wow, praise God. You know, when your spirit gets strengthened, then it affects your soul later. But I just remember feeling that encouragement. And then we went back to the doctor kind of another, I don't know if it was like 3 months later or 4 months later, whatever. And we looked at that same new picture of the liver, and the cancer had begun to calcify and break off and dissipate. And that cancer, that cancer did not get her liver. She ended up, you know, she ended up living from that first diagnosis to the time that she passed, 18 years. And it was just an amazing miracle of God to see his hand on her life and sustaining her in so many ways. But it looked like checkmate to the natural mind and the feelings. But I remember just having somebody who reminded me, to put my hope in God, who reminded me to not be so downcast. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. And so as we're looking at and we're remembering these things, we remember some things about God. All things are possible with him. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Another important reason why we can get our hopes up is because, you know, we're not alone. God is with us in trouble. He's not afraid of whatever the junk is that has got us to this place of discouragement. He knows where we are. And I just love what he says. He said, I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. In other words, not only as we put our hope in God, is he going to get us out of this mess, but he's going to do it in a way that's going to be honoring to you. You know, when you think about the Israelite or the Hebrew children, when Pharaoh let them go, and they were backed up against the Red Sea, and you got the chariots bearing down on them, and it's just, it's like another one of these hopeless situations. You got the sea on one side, you got the army, Pharaoh's charging chariots on the other side, ready to squish the Hebrew children, and there's just no way. And then God sends that pillar of fire to put that separation, and then he splits the Red Sea, and they walk through. Now, there's nobody there who is predicting that stuff. In the natural, checkmate. But there was, put your hope in God. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. Does it take faith to put your hope in God? Yes, it does. When you don't know, when you don't understand, when you can't see it, Lord, I'm going to need a Red Sea crossing miracle. God says, great, believe, put your hope in me. Now, let's not confuse this with this either. A lot of times we'll gauge what God can and can't do by the strength of our own spirituality at the time. Am I in a good place? Am I in a bad place? Am I strong in the Lord? Am I weak in the Lord? Your personal consecration levels in the moment are not going to determine what God can and can't do. All things are possible with God. In fact, these become humble inflection points where we need to come to the end of ourselves, where we need to say, this isn't about, you know, my great devotion time today. This is about trusting you, God. I can't do this. I can do my due diligence. I can worship. I can read my word. I can pray. I can do those good things, good devotional things. But my strength, my hope isn't in my devotion time. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in him. And there's sometimes these heart adjustments that take place where I got to say, Lord, my hope is in you. I don't know how this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. Now, I believe in healing. I believe in faith. I believe in provision. I believe that God can do the impossible. I believe that. And I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe Jesus hasn't changed. I believe he's still moved with compassion. And through the church of Jesus Christ, he still moves in this earth and has his way. I believe that. But there have been times where you can kind of make a religion out of anything, you know, where I'm going through something, maybe it's physical, and it's like, oh yeah, I believe in healing. I got to pray for healing. And I pray for healing. And I've just been checked by the Spirit of God sometimes. Ed, that's good. You prayed. You prayed according to my word for healing. I said, but do you really believe that? Do you really believe what you're praying? In other words, you can kind of get into a rote. This is what we do when this happens. Hope doesn't just settle for this is what we... Hope sees things. Hope chooses to go there mentally. Hope chooses to go there emotionally. And so as I was kind of praying, I don't know if it was like a sore knee or something like that, the Lord was saying, Ed, do you see yourself healed? Is that your hope? Is there hope? And basically what I was being challenged with is sometimes I'll have hopeless faith. By that I mean, and I do mean that kind of in air quotes, by that I mean that I'm technically believing like I know I'm supposed to, but I don't allow myself to hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is going out ahead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Go there. Can you believe it? Can you get your hopes up? Can you see that? Or do you have to manage expectations and not get your hopes up? So if it doesn't happen, you won't feel bad. These are challenges. These are spiritual challenges. And like I said, no charmed lives here. We've got all got our stories. And I'm talking to all of us on this level. We all, at this point, have to get our hopes up. We all have to be able to say, my hope is in God. Yes, some junk has happened. Yes, deep despair. That means there's stuff that I don't get. There's why God questions in that despair. But in the face of that, soul, put your hope in God. He's talking to his soul to put his hope in God. He's talking to his mind, his feelings, his emotions. Put your hope in God. Dare to see it again. Dare to see healing. Dare to see freedom. Dare to see relationship wholeness. Dare to see things that seem impossible in the natural. There's an admonition in that. Getting your hopes up again. Why can we? Because with God, all things are possible. This is a great Old Testament example from Abraham. Then one of them said, about this time next year, Abraham had a visitation, really from a Christ-like figure who came to prophesy to Abraham what was going to happen. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed slightly to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. I mean, wow. Sometimes I've had the Holy Spirit bring that argument to me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There is something where we're challenged, and we realize that this isn't about my emotions. This isn't about my feelings. This isn't about, there's something bigger at work going on here. This is about God. Why is this important? It's not about getting stuff. It's not even about answered prayers. It's about being and staying connected in your fellowship with God. Because that discouragement, what that's after, it's your heart with the Lord. It's coming after your intimate walk with Jesus, that garden walk. Jesus redeemed us to get us back in the garden walking with him again. When our hope is in God, we're fellowshipping with God. We're talking with God. We're communicating with God. There's a communication going on with him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? We know the technical answer to that is no. But then when we let our soul go there and say, Lord, here I go. Why so downcast, O my soul? I'm going to put my trust in God. I will yet praise his name. You can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In the same way, there's a dependency upon him completely and totally that he can do what I can't do. There's also a confidence that I can do what God has called me to do through his strength, through his power. In other words, as long as it's like, okay, God, you do it, I'm good. As long as I'm out of the equation, there's a possibility here. And God says, no, we're part of this equation. There is part of a working together that God is going to have you do things. And whatever God tells you to do, whatever God calls you to do, praise God, you have the strength and whatever it is that you need to do. And a lot of times all that God is going to show you to do here He's just going to show you what to do next. In other words, there's the Red Sea, there's the chariots coming, and Lord, show me what to do next. I don't have to get myself out of this jam. All I have to do is believe that I have the strength for whatever it is that you show me to do next. And he might just say, pray. He might just say, worship. He might just say, set your love on me. He might say something very simple. But I'm telling you what, when you got that, you got everything. In fact, there is something about just sensing the voice of God in any situation that'll keep your life together. You just know he's spoken to you. You know that he's there. And as long as you've got that, you got everything. You got everything. If you just got that, if you just sense his voice, if you sense his spirit saying, just read that chapter or listen to this worship song or whatever that next thing is. If you've got that, I'm telling you what, you got everything. All you need is to know that voice, that impression of his spirit, because he's going to get you from here to here and then from here to here, and he'll begin to lead you out step by step by step as you're working with his spirit. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. When there's a putting your hope in God, there is also a listening that goes on the inside. Lord, my hope is in you. Now I'm listening. Again, show me what to do. I'm part of this process. I'm going to do whatever it is that you call me to do. And I'm telling you, sometimes he's just going to get you in these little places, these little adjustments of being spiritual-minded. And when you make those little spiritual-minded adjustments, the voice of the Spirit begins to come through. And it's so beautiful. Again, this is not about do's and don'ts. This is about you walking with God. And as you're walking with God, he's beginning to turn your heart. By faith, I'm going to get my hopes up. And by faith, I'm going to listen on the inside and begin to make those adjustments by the Spirit of God for the things that he wants me to do. And Ephesians puts it this way, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. For those of you who know more of the King James, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. All right? That's true. That's a New Testament promise, isn't it? He is able to do. And that's what Paul is praying, that you might get in Ephesians 1. He prays that you might get the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you as a believer. It's like, oh, if you could see it, if you knew. So many times, again, I'm not putting the pressure on my spiritual consecration or Lord, I want to see your power that's working toward me as a believer. I want to see it. I want to know it. I want to be able to go there spiritually. I want to be encouraged in the Lord, to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Again, whatever the situation is, a lot of times that causes discouragement. It's really not after that thing. It's really not after your money. It's not even after your relationship with that person. It's not even, it's after your relationship with God. It's after you and him. He's after this fellowship that you have with him. Your fellowship with God is precious. It's beautiful. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, for that. For that fellowship, for that relationship. So when you begin to come back to these reasonings, you know, there's a spiritual case God makes in his word. You can believe. You can keep your hope in me, even though that happened and you can't explain it. You can still put your hope in me. Get your hopes up. It's something that you're going to do, that you're going to be doing by faith. Finally, you know, God loves you. This is such a big part of all of this, and this is really what we're kind of coming to this morning. Because we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There is a full circle that we have to going back to believing the love. At some point, when we have all these situations and all these circumstances that we don't understand, the temptation is for our center to change to the answer to those questions. And what God does by his word, by his spirit, he keeps our center in him. I can't explain that, but I know he loves me. I know that he's for me. I believe the love that God has for me. I totally, no matter what is going on, it doesn't change that. It doesn't change that about him for me. I'm just going to skip to the last scripture here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for you, who can be for us? Who can be against us? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger, threatened with death? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You could put it this way. There is nothing that can cause us to not be able to put our hope in God. You know, when you look at that list, trouble, hunger, destitute, danger, those are things that could cause you to question, is God still there, right? Those are the things that could be certainly, why God? You know, those are the things that can be messing with your soul in a big way. But death, life, angels, principalities and powers, those are those, that's the demonic realm that we wrestle with. Even the fear that God doesn't love you anymore, even that fear can't separate you from the love of God. All that fear can do is lie that he doesn't love you anymore. That's all he can do and hope you buy it. That's it. But that spirit of fear cannot separate you. There's no angels. There's no principalities. There's no power. There's no spiritual influence warring against the law of your mind that can get in between you and the love that God has for you. There's no fear in love. That perfect love, when you believe it, it casts out the fear. When you believe that God loves you, there's no place for that fear to be. It's gone. There is a trust and there's a knowing God loves me. I'm putting my hope in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. But what about this? What about that? You know, we know. The scripture tells us by design, in the here and now, we only know in part. But there's coming a day when we're going to know as we're known. And when that day comes, there's going to be a whole lot of, oh, okay, now I understand. Well, sure. But by design, we don't know everything. In fact, the Apostle Paul was cut up to the third heaven once, and he said he heard things that were unlawful to speak on the earth. There is knowledge that's prohibited for us in the here and now. A holy, just God in whom there is no darkness at all. We trust in his holiness and his perfection. By design, we're called to walk by faith in the part that he's given us and to trust his character in the part we don't know. That's a task as our lives bump up against different things in this life. But I'm telling you what, that's where, even as a believer, after these years, that's where my heart is challenged and where I am more desiring and hungry to grow and to declare, I've seen too much. God is good. He is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? There are conclusions that you come as you're arguing with yourself to put your trust in God again. There's some arguments like the psalmist had as far as, am I going to trust him again and again? And pretty soon, these are decisions that you have to come to on your own. That's why I love that beautiful picture, because nobody can do this for you. Nobody can put your hope in God for you. Nobody could do it in the first place. You're the one who had to call upon the name of the Lord to get saved in the first place. And it's that same kind of decision that each of us have to make. All of us have these arguments with our soul that are trying to keep us down. But this is where we got to argue back. Argue back in on behalf of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Of course, we think of Paul being, you know, Paul and Silas whipped and beaten and thrown in prison in the midnight hour. they began to worship and glorify God. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Their hope, they could, the devil could never, ever, well, couldn't get his hope out of Paul. He couldn't discourage Paul to where all of a sudden he just decided to shut down and blame God, and that was the end of his ministry. The reason why Paul kept going is because of that. He chose to keep putting his hope in God again and again and again. And sometimes you do that, and you do get understanding, and you do get revelation. You go, wow, I didn't know that then, but I know that now. I'm glad I didn't give up then. Praise God. I'm glad I stuck with it. You know, there's a peace that passes your understanding that'll keep your heart and mind in Christ till you do get it. But a big part of letting that peace keep your heart and mind in Christ is choosing to get your hopes up, choosing to believe in God, not letting go of the hope of the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that our hope is in you. Our trust is completely and totally in you. And I just pray that, Father, this morning, that is, if we need to make some just heart adjustments, Lord, that you'll help us with that. Holy Spirit, that you just bear witness to truth, to those things that we know are true, Lord, that we don't let a discouraged soul win, Father, but we allow a trust in your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness, Lord. Lord, we argue like the psalmist argued. We will remember. We will remember your goodness. We will remember your faithfulness. We'll remember where I should have been taken out in that car accident, maybe, where I should have been taken out by that sickness, where I should have been taken out in different ways, but I'm here, God. I refuse to forget that. I'm going to remember. I'm going to let those situations of your deliverance in my life mark my conscience, mark my heart. I'm not going to forget. I'm going to remember you're good, that you're with me, and that nothing can separate me from your love. Go ahead and make this a simple declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. My hope is in you. Where else can I go? Nothing is impossible with you. There are things I don't understand, but I trust you. I trust your character. You are good, whether I understand it or not. You are light, and in you is no darkness at all. I believe that about you. My heart is toward you. I trust you. I hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, it's just one of those messages that we kind of need to be reminded. It's just kind of it's kind of that tune-up message, that kind of oil change car deal where you just got every 3 months in my car or whatever, but these are messages that we need to frequently come back to and just say, okay, my trust is in you. Lord, yes, I'll pray about it, you give me understanding, but you're my center. When things happen that I don't understand, that doesn't become my new center, and now God has to get vindicated. No, I just need more understanding, that's all. He still stays my center. His love truly is impenetrable, and I embrace it by faith. My soul can catch up later, but I am going to trust in God. Amen? Praise God. All right.